Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 7th of June 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. This week the speaker was Malcolm White, and he's from Alcombe Evangelical Church, which is another church here in Minehead. He spoke on Trinity Sunday, and the reading which will be read by Jenny is John 14 verses 6 to 21. So we'll hear the reading and then Malcolm will start his sermon.
This morning is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting at verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him."
It's Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is one of these dates in the church calendar, which I must confess rather passes me by so often. But it's Trinity Sunday today. It's the day when the church traditionally recognized once and for all, if you like, in the church calendar, that God is three persons. I suppose leading up to Christmas, we think of God the Father and his plans. From Christmas through to Ascension, we think of God the Son and his coming into the world and his dying on the cross, rising and returning to glory. And then from Whitsun onwards, we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible teaches that they are one and the same person. And that is our subject this morning. I hope you don't think it's going to be dry. We will make it as interesting as we can, but it is quite a thrilling subject. And I hope at the end of the time, we shall have enjoyed our time together. But first of all, let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us when we think that everything in the world and the universe revolves around us. When we think that we have the answers about you. When we think that we can put you into a box and understand you and bring you out on high days and holidays. When we have such a limited understanding of who you are and how great you are. Forgive us, for before time ever existed, before the universe that we are seeking to discover ever was in being, you were there. You were there, Almighty God and Father. You were there, Lord Jesus Christ. You were there, Holy Spirit. And your realm is far beyond ours, greater far than we can ever understand. You are supreme, you are holy, you are majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing, a wonderful God. And we acknowledge that this morning. And we pray that as we meet in your presence, you will open our eyes to better understand who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how a relationship with you can be so exciting and so purposeful, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The actual word Trinity never appears in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. Just because a dog doesn't know it's a dog doesn't mean that it isn't a dog, does it? And I'd like this morning to take you through two sort of subjects or two sections of this. First of all, what the Bible says about the Trinity or some of the evidence for it. And I will only take a little. There's much more than we can give you today. And then four reasons why we should be interested in him. But before we really get into this, may I make an apology? And that is that I have brought along a PowerPoint presentation which has bells and whistles on it. And the bells and whistles are not working this morning. So my apologies. Brian has worked very hard to bring my presentation back into the Arc Ages so that it fits your... No, I'm sorry about that. He's done his best to make the thing work so that it makes some sense. But forgive me if it's not quite as it should be. But let's see how we go. Why am I not on the screen here? Sorry? All right, okay. The Bible starts with one of the most provocative statements in the whole of history, in the whole of literature. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that is probably one of the most debated statements that the planet has ever got into. Because today we are told in practically every program that we listen to that men evolved and that evolution has been proved as the fact of our existence and why we're here. It's never explained that the truth, in fact, is in the Bible. And that evolution is man's theory based upon some of the evidence that he thinks he's found. What I'm asking you to do this morning, if you will please, is to take what you see just as it is. Let's not add our own sort of questioning to it for a moment. Let's just take it on face value. Because God says that if you believe me, I will turn your life around. If you believe me, I will wipe away the fact that you have ignored me, what the Bible calls sin. I've dealt with that. And if only you will believe me and trust me, I will forgive you for that. I will bring to life again what is dead in you, and that is your spirit. And you will be part of me for eternity. He also says that those who ignore me will die. And the Bible describes the death of those who refuse to accept God as something pretty terrible. It's called hell, and it's horrible. But this morning, let's just see what the Bible has to say about God. Very interesting. I'm not quite sure what we're going to have here, but let's have a look. It says, in the beginning, God. And the word God is something that cannot be translated exactly into English in the sense that there are at least three words meaning God. And the word that is used there is Elohim. And we'll look at that, hopefully. If we talk about God in the singular, they have a word for that, which is El. But the word that is in the Bible is Elohim. They have a word for plural, but we don't have a word that is plural just two things. We either have one or more than one. But in the original language, there's a word for one, there's a word for two, and then there's the word for more than two. And that is the word that's used. Elohim, which means that there are three persons. But the interesting thing is, too, that when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the word God is plural, but the word for the doing things, the created, is in the singular. And so we have already, right in the very first words of the Bible, the indication of the Trinity, three persons in one. And God went on to say, let us make man in his image. There is evidence for the Trinity in the Old Testament. As you can see, in Isaiah it talks about the Messiah, the Son, who said, the Sovereign Lord, the Father, has sent me with his Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit appear together in the Old Testament many times, and that is but one. Again, in the New Testament, we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And Jesus was talking about that. And he said, when somebody comes to accept God, you baptize them. And you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. To baptize them in the name of the Father would not be right, because that's a third of God. If you baptize in the name of the Son, that is also not right, because that's a third of God as well. And if you baptize in the name of the Spirit, that is not right. It should be the three, because if you're going to baptize them in the name of God, it is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this is where we get into some difficulties, because there were some exciting things going to happen here, and I'm afraid this morning they won't. But we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who make up the Trinity. And those three were going to dissolve and disappear behind the word God, just to help you to understand that the three are in fact one. In order to help you to remember this, it's not going to happen either, but we have God and the Father, the Son, and the Spirit come out, and what was going to happen was that the word for Father was going to change to soul. The word for Son was going to change to body. So you have body, soul, and spirit. And we have been made like God. Body, soul, and spirit. Now I want you to watch something very carefully. But before we do, let me just think of something else here. And that is that Jesus spoke very clearly about the Trinity. And in our reading this morning, let me remind you of something that he said. Philip asked him, show us the Father. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was claiming equality with God the Father. And then he said, I will ask the Father to give you another counselor, another one like me. And he says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he's talking to his disciples who have walked with him for 3 years. He says, you know him, for he lives with you. He's lived with them for 3 years, and he will be in you. In other words, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send him to you. And to those who know and love the Lord Jesus, he will enter into them and they will have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. That's in Romans chapter 8. So now watch this very closely, because I'm going to ask you some questions about it in just a minute. Ooh, she says. Now, what did you see then? Husband kissing the wife. Yeah. She is my wife, yes, that's right. Just in case you wondered. Yeah, okay. What part of me did you see in action? The body. You saw the body in action. Okay. My soul said, I want to kiss Pamela. It'll probably embarrass her, but hey, why not, you know? Did that plant the kiss on her cheek? Didn't, did it? Okay. My body had to get involved because my soul needed to be transported to where she was, or where she is, in fact. So did telling my body to do it get the job done? Well, some say yes and some say no. You see, I can sit here and I can think I'm going to conquer the world. But unless something happens inside to give me the energy, it's not going to happen, is it? So I had to have that energy in my body to transport me down to Pamela, so that in actual fact, body, soul, and spirit were involved in... All right? That's it for today. Do you see? Three parts. You and I are three parts, aren't we? When my body has energy but the soul has no ideas, you got it? The body's got plenty of energy, body and spirit together, but the soul isn't working, nothing happens, does it? You know, you can lie in bed and have all sorts of great ideas. Sorry, you can be running around, rather, but have no ideas and you just get nowhere. Alternatively, you can do it the other way around. You can say the soul has great ideas, but the body is too lazy, like you have on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to get up. What's the point? Nothing happens. All three have to work together. So my demonstration showed that we are three parts and how three can work together. But God is different. And there are big differences, and that is this, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, although they are similar to what I have just shown you, they are nevertheless separate persons, and they do things on their own. They have separate roles within the Godhead, and yet they are one, and they work as one. Whereas my body cannot work independently of my spirit or my soul. Okay, well, this is all very sort of theoretical stuff, isn't it? Have you got it? You know, if I test you on it, will you get all the answers right? Because what I'd like us to do now is to think of four reasons why the Trinity is important to us. The first one is in creation. The second is in my salvation. The third is in my daily life, and the fourth is in my future. And as we come to each one of these, at the end of each one, there's a little think panel. And at that point, I would like to invite anyone here who feels touched by what we've just said to pray to God and give thanks. You'll see as we go along how this works out. But the Trinity in creation. First of all, we have God the Father. And of the creation, God himself, God the Father, says in Psalm 45:8, I created it. And he had a reason for creating it, for his glory. He wanted to show all those in heaven, those who've been with him in eternity past, how great he is, that they should glorify him. And so he created it. And in Revelation, there is that song of praise to God. You're worthy because you created all things. God the Father created the universe. And without it, we would not be here. What about the Son? John 1:23 says, that Jesus, the Son, was there right in the very beginning with the Father, and nothing was made without him. And Colossians says that everything was made by him and for him. What about the Spirit? I wonder if we can read this one together, can we? How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. When you send your Spirit, they are created. In creation, God the Father, the Trinity, is involved. And think, you have been made specially for his glory. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, Almighty God, from eternity past, made you for his glory. How does that make you feel this morning? Would somebody like to say thank you for that? Just to speak out a word of thanks to God. Amen. Thank you. And then the Trinity is involved in my salvation. We talked about the fact that ignoring God is what God calls sin, or what the Bible calls sin. Ignoring him, pretending he's not there, wanting to get on and living my own life, pretending that I just happened to arrive, ignoring the fact that he made me specially for himself. God says, I can forgive you for that, but only because of what I have done. And so the Trinity is involved in my salvation. The Father sent his Son to be a sin offering so that we might live according to the Spirit, says Paul in Romans 8. And thank you, Brian. How much more then will the blood of Christ, the Son, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God the Father, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? The Spirit was working through the Son to do that mighty work for the Father. The Trinity is involved in our salvation, in your salvation and mine. And through Jesus the Son, we have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Jesus has made it possible for us to come back to God, the Father. So think, the Holy Trinity that existed before the worlds and the universe were ever made was involved in your salvation. How do you feel about that? Is someone going to say thank you? Amen. And thank you, Lord, for going through the cost of making it possible for us to be saved. Thank you for my salvation. What about the Trinity in my daily life? It's one thing to know that I'm created, it's another thing to know that I'm saved. Perhaps we're not saved. Perhaps we've never actually got into that relationship with God. Perhaps we thought about it. Perhaps we thought, well, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. I hear all sorts of stories one way or the other. But this morning I'm presenting to you what the Bible says. And if you take it as it is, as the truth in your heart, God will forgive you if you believe him. Something to think about, maybe, if you don't know that salvation. But if you have accepted him, then he also should be a part of your daily life. God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. In other words, setting you apart, making you special for Him, to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sung that He is Lord of all. He's, what is it we were singing at the end? You're higher, high and lifted up. Jesus was high and lifted up in eternity past. He came to this earth and was made sin and gave His life and died. He was buried. He rose again and is now back in that high and lifted up position that He was before. And God wants you to be there. And in your daily life, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, can work towards making you ready for that. Peter writes that we're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He had planned it, He knew it was going to happen. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in our lives, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. God chose us to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can only do that through the work of the Holy Spirit. We had read to us by Jenny, I, the Son, will ask the Father to give you another counselor, one like me, He says, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus spoke very naturally and very easily about the Trinity. It was all part of Him. We have thought for a moment about my salvation, that God sent His Son, which is the Father's plan for you. We've talked about Jesus offering Himself, which is the Son's sacrifice for you. And we've thought about through Jesus we have access to the Father through one Spirit, which is the Spirit working it out for you. We've now thought about the Father sent the Spirit to be with you forever, the Trinity's daily presence and help. We thought about being chosen by God for obedience to Jesus, the Trinity's purpose for you. We thought about God choosing and sanctifying of the Spirit that we might share in the joy, the glory of Jesus. The Trinity is preparing us for our future inheritance with Jesus, those of us who love Him. And here we have Paul prays that we might know Him, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. The desire of the Trinity is that you should know Him better. The Trinity wants to be part of my everyday life. Have you thought about that? How does it make you feel? Does anybody want to say thank you for that? Amen. And finally, let's think for the moment about the Trinity in my future. That's if you've got a future, of course. And according to this, oh, we have, right. The Father's plan. In the Son, we were chosen according to the Father's plan. That having believed in Jesus, we were marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Father planned that if you believe when Jesus died, He died for you to deal with your sin, He will forgive you and put on you His seal, the Holy Spirit, to guarantee that you belong to Him. The Trinity is working to secure your eternal future. The Father said, "Behold, I am making everything new." The Trinity is involved in making the future. And the Father is going to create a new heaven and an earth, as the Bible tells us. The Father is creating your perfect eternal world. Jesus said to John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he said, "Don't be afraid. I, as Jesus, am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Somebody who's got the keys has got what? They've got total control. Who goes in and who goes out? Who stays in and who stays out? Jesus is responsible for who goes to hell and who doesn't. It is entirely up to him. And if you love him, it's wonderful to know that he holds those keys and can keep you out of what is the fate of those who ignore God. Jesus holds the key. The Spirit says, "Come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb." Who's the bride of the Lamb? The bride is the group of Christians, the group of people who love him. Thousands, millions of people who have followed Christ down through the years, right across the world today. Here in Minehead Baptist Church and outside, believe it or not, right across the world, all those who accept Jesus as Savior are his bride, and he's coming back one day for the bride. And the Spirit who is in the bride on earth today, who lives in us with the church, says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And also invites others to come too. And that is an invitation to anyone here tonight. Tonight? It may have seemed long to you, but it's longer to me. Anyone here this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, there's that invitation to accept him this morning, to put aside all those sort of man-made theories and doubts and fears and all those things, and say, "Yes, Lord, I accept what you say. I believe you died for me. Forgive me for my sin, and come in and be Lord of my life." And if you mean that, it'll happen, I promise you. But think, the Trinity is the source and center of my future hope. How about that? Does that thrill you? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that my future depends entirely upon you, for no one else has the future in their hands. Amen. So how much does the Trinity feature in your life? That's the question. Do you believe that he was involved in your creation and you were created specially for him? Do you believe that he, all three persons, was involved in salvation, in making it possible for you to get right with him? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Trinity as a whole, is involved or wants to be involved in your daily life? Is he involved in your daily life? And the third thing is, can you look forward into the future knowing that your future is in the hands of the Almighty Trinity of God? Shall we pray? Our God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you, Almighty God, in all three persons, are involved in the work of creation, upholding the universe, of dealing with man's sin, and preparing that eternal future. We thank you that despite all man's theories and ideas, you are the Almighty God, the living one, the three in one, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we thank you, we pray that we may know you personally more and more as the days go by and serve you and love you and look forward to that day when we shall be with you forever in that eternal future that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.